All right, guys, I've been waiting for this one. Have you started holiday shopping yet? If you're like me, 2020 has felt like the longest year, yet here we are, getting ready for the holidays. And just like most everything else, even shopping looks a little bit different, and that's where Sally Sue Collections comes in. They're an online boutique with personalized goods to fit your taste and style, and there's plenty of fun and sassy items in stock and ready to ship. Mugs to tumblers to shirts and hats and gifts for our amazing teachers and frontline workers, SallySueCollections.com has you covered. Give the gift of thoughtfulness this year and stand out with fun and unique items, and you'll also be supporting a local business. And that's what this whole thing is about. Shop local, support local. With SallySueCollections.com, your shopping experience is 100% contactless. And keep in mind that due to the volume of online shopping this year, orders are anticipated to be high. So what does that mean for you? Shop early and then kick back and enjoy your time with friends and family. There's never been a better year to plan ahead, shop safely, and find those special gifts for your loved ones, friends, and colleagues. And that's where SallySueCollections.com comes in. Visit them. SallySueCollections.com. Get in there, get your gifts, and have a rockin' end of the year. All right, guys, you know that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Hepius. Hepius is your number one place to go for premium CBD products at a fraction of the cost. This is perfect for any first-time user and for the veteran user. There's no THC. It's locally sourced and third-party tested, so you don't have to worry about paying for any fancy celebrities or a drug test. These guys have something for everybody, and I personally enjoy their products. In fact, my favorite one's the Sleep Aid, so go check them out. HepiusMed.com, HepiusMed.com. Right in time for the holiday seasons. Again, go check them out, HepiusMed.com, and have fun. Welcome, everybody. This is Dalton Jensen, and you're tuning into The Thinking Project. Nice to meet you. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. You?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm really excited to get to talk to you. I read in your bio that you work a lot with small businesses and women who want to be entrepreneurs and mentoring women. So when I came across that, I was like, this is sweet, because that's what I try to do. I try to, you know, elevate small business owners, and I feel like you do as well. So I feel like this should be a pretty fun conversation.
I think so, yes. Are there any kind of housekeeping details you want to go through before we get started?
No, it's pretty easy. Like, we just do, you know, it's just a really easy conversation. And that ultimately, you know, it's like an interview, but I like, you know, the stories more than the questions, you know what I mean?
Okay. And is there any kind of a product that I could promote for you or talk about?
I mean, my podcast is what I do. That's just what I do. So,
cool. Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Well, yeah, let's go, whatever. Yeah. I'm at your house. So,
oh no. Well, like I said, like, first, I appreciate you being here. So what made you want to start with small businesses and entrepreneurial women, and what kind of story do you have?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because I actually didn't originally sign up to be a business coach or mentor. I was just all about getting my own business to succeed. And so I, back in seventh grade, years ago, when they first came out with paperclips that had like the plastic coating, the collars on them, when I saw those, I wore some as earrings, and people are like, where'd you get those? I'm like, I can sell you some. And so that was like my first legit little business. And boy, there's a great markup on paperclips, I tell you.
But yeah, that's true.
So I started there. And then at age 18, I actually started my own real business that I tried to really jump in and make money. I just had that entrepreneurial bug. I don't know why. Yeah. And so, but it took a lot of trial and error. And I did lots of things for years that didn't work. And that's really hard and heart-wrenching as an entrepreneur. And so when I finally did end up figuring it out, people started asking me, hey, can you teach me this? No, I'm a business owner. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a mentor. No, I got my own, like, I'm doing well. But then I kept hearing, you know, universe, God kind of steer you in that new path, like, yeah, hey, yeah, over here. And when people kept saying, you should be a coach, you should be a coach, then eventually it sunk in. And so I got my mentoring certification, and now I teach other people how to build six-figure businesses, and it's super fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite part too, when we talk about like business owners, because it's really fun to watch business owners grow and succeed. I think, you know, since I've been like a trainer of salespeople and a trainer of, you know, I wouldn't consider myself like a business coach, but I'll give people advice, you know, every now and then.
Sure.
And it's just fun. It's fun to watch people like take something that they hear or they read or they listen to, and like put it into action, and then like it works. It's almost like this cool thing where like you're validating yourself, like, sweet. Like, even
yeah,
though
well that's yeah, certainly part of it. It's fun, like their success is your success when you're a coach. But it's, I kind of feel like there's this distinction between big business and small business. And
yes,
and I love the small business part. Big business, they've got, it just feels kind of a little bit less colorful. They've got metrics, they've got tracking. It's all very serious. You know, they've got to report to shareholders. But when you're in a small business situation, there's tons of creativity. It really is almost like a set of Play-Doh or an art palette. And it's like, what do we want to create? How do we want to serve? Let's try it out. You know, let's see if people want my stuff, what I made, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and I like how you mentioned the difference between small businesses and big businesses, right? Because a lot of people, I mean, in your experience working with small businesses, what are a lot of their goals? Like, do you find that they have common goals between businesses, or do you find that they're all different?
You know, I think everyone wants to feel a sense of freedom to do things they want. Kind of like, especially American business owners, like,
yeah,
land of the free, you know, and they want to, yeah, I want to run it on my terms, on my schedule, you know, around the world if I want, or laptop lifestyle or whatever. But so it's almost like their piece of self-expression, and one way that they declare their freedom is, I can build this, I can do this, I can make a living in the world any way I choose. And so a lot of them are just like, how do I take this idea I have and make it more profitable and more stable, so that I don't have to worry about where business comes from and stuff? And how do I just kind of get that Maslow's hierarchy, that first level of needs met, so then I can go and do the fun stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I see that with small business owners too. I think that as you start giving them the tools, they start realizing it. And I feel like a lot of small business owners start out with that goal. You know, they might not necessarily want to be like a super big business. You know, some of them certainly have those goals of being, you know, Amazon, multinational, whatever, right? But I feel like the ones that I talk to, like, focus on the happiness, right? They want to make the money that it takes them to be happy. You know what I mean?
Well, and like, honestly, there's people that are like, I want the number, I want $1 million, I want this, you know, the Ferrari. And yeah, there's those types out there. But I feel like the people that I'm meant to serve and connect with are people that care about those other areas too, and are in priority a little bit more balanced, or they seek balance. Because, you know, what fun is all of it if, you know, if your health is out the window, or your relationships, there's nobody riding your Ferrari with you. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think in general, people are happier when they find a way. And it really comes back to starting with building self. And, you know, this alpha concept that kind of brought us together, you know, it starts in your own mindset and your own acceptance and cherishing of yourself. And as you do business with that as part of your foundation, then the other areas don't have to suffer, because out of respect, you manage them. And so,
yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned mindset, and I know that you're would you consider yourself a mindset coach?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Cause that's, you know, mindset's been a big deal. I mean, obviously it's very important, but I feel like there's been a lot of people entering that field, and for good reason. I mean, I think you're right. A lot of people don't understand the power of their mind, the power of like positive self-talk. How do you navigate the mindset coaching world? Like, how do you approach people's mindset? Because I also feel like that can be kind of tough, right? I've asked this question.
It's a little touchy because no one wants to be told that their mindset is wrong or you're off base there. I try to frame some of that stuff in ahas that they can kind of discover. And if you get really good at asking the right kinds of questions, then they lead themselves down a path of self-discovery. And then all of a sudden they're telling you, hey, you know what, if I did this thing differently, like, I think it would do this. Oh yeah. Oh, that's really brilliant of you to notice that. So if you can kind of help them down, because that's really where the fun part is, the discovering new things and the growth in yourself, instead of being told what to do by somebody else, even if you pay them as a coach to tell you what to do, you still kind of, you know, you want to do it your own way.
Yeah, I always feel like that's kind of touchy too. Have you ever had somebody just, you know, because I feel like this would happen, and this might just be me because I've never been there, but have you ever had people who are just like, I'm paying you to tell me like what I want you to tell me?
Not in so many words. I would say the closest thing that I've come to is I worked with a gentleman who had these great ideas. He had a decent following online, and he was like, yeah, I want to make a difference. I want to travel. I want to speak. I want to do all these things. And I said, well, you've got a great following. Let's help you get monetized and get going. Oh no, I can't charge. Well, you want to go. And he had given me a list of these things that it's going to take $1 million to do the stuff he wants to do. Oh, I'm not going to charge. Well, I don't understand. Like, I'm supposed to help you bridge the gap, but where's the money going to come from to do all this awesome stuff? I don't know. I'm going to attract it. Okay. Well, let's back up, because I love the idea of manifesting and abundance and the secret and all that. And how I work closely with an organization that coaches from some of the secret coaches and the ones that appear in the movie. And even they now are like, okay, the secret was an introduction. Like, let's broaden people's minds that they can, that there is a law of attraction. But we don't stop there. We don't just meditate and try to manifest as hard as we can in front of us. It has to do. And so in my program, I balance it with mindset, skill set. It's almost my company is Infinite Step Mentoring, and you can find me coincidentally on infinitestepmentoring.com. Yes. But the idea had to do that. But the idea is you take one step with one foot. Your right foot is mindset. You have to start with mindset. You have to start with believing that it's possible to achieve the thing that you see in your mind's eye or that you desire. So you start off and you're like, I can, let me think about how to do it. But then you have to follow up with the other foot skill set if you want to go anywhere, if you want to take that journey. So if you have this idea that you want, but you don't know how to get there, you need to develop the skills or start seeking out, what resources do I have? How could I get closer? Because we have to do something. The doing is what brings it from the ether and the visualization into the physical world. That's how we manifest.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. A lot of people stay, and this is why I feel like the mindset coaching world is a tough one, because some people, and I'm certainly not saying all people, who either get into the mindset world, just not even as coaching, they just get into the mindset world, they kind of stay in the mindset. You know what I mean? They're like, if I think about it hard enough, it'll work. You know what I mean? Or like something else will happen. So I love that you coupled it with like skills. And I love that you use the word skills, because that to me is your greatest wealth building and mindset tool. Are the skills
because you can build them if you lack them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Oh, I love that. So what kind of skills do you focus on in your coaching program?
Well, one of the foundational pieces is the skill of understanding yourself, your power, how to express confidence through your body. And then this goes right back to your alpha concept. Your subconscious mind is communicating, whether you're saying words or not. It's telling everybody exactly what you think of yourself. You know, if you're trying to sell something and it feels icky to you and you're just like, oh, I gotta sell the thing, your body is screaming all of that, and that does not build trust and comfort, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
100%. So the first foundational piece is let's get you good with you. And if you're in business, we got to get you good with money and selling and not feeling like you're taking. That's when it feels icky, is when people are like, I feel like I'm taking more than I'm giving. It's not even. And we need it as humans to be an even exchange, right? So that I feel like I contribute, I have value too. And so when you can start to shift yourself around that, okay, my selling actually is helping this other person. I'm not taking. It's part of a way that I give because I have these gifts that I can serve. I'm good with me and I'm good with my product I'm selling, then that can be our foundation. And then everything gets easier anyway.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people always have a hard time with selling because it's almost, well, and I think a lot of reasons they have a hard time with selling is because they feel like, or excuse me, they've been taught like ways that aren't necessarily authentic, you know?
Right.
So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Well, and the traditional, what we've heard in sales textbooks and stuff for decades, you know, at first when it was new, it was like, oh, nobody knows about this, so do this. But when I'm an experienced marketer and I can see what you're doing a mile away and I even know the name of the flows you're using on me,
it's not
going to be effective anymore. You gotta be real these days. People just want that, and why not just be genuine?
Well, I noticed on your website you met Chris Voss, and he's probably my biggest sales mentor. You know, he wrote that book, Never Split the Difference, which everybody should read. It doesn't matter if you're in sales or not.
Yeah.
You know, and I took his masterclass, and I learned more about selling because it was very authentic, genuine. You know, he talks about being a straight shooter, and then he teaches you how to do it. And then, you know, once people feel that authenticity, like you were saying, once they feel, you know, once they get confident, then we're rocking and rolling, right? We can negotiate deals.
Well, and even I don't know how familiar, I'm sure you may be though, with The Science of Getting Rich and Wallace Wattles.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, he puts it pretty straightforward and bluntly, like, you have an obligation to be rich because you cannot experience life to the fullest, develop your gifts, give gifts of love or contribution unless you have some money backing you up. So first of all, it's not only okay to be rich, you really should be. You know, God has put out, God, universe, whatever your title, has made lots of opportunities available for you to take advantage of the abundance on this planet. And so let's get to stepping, you know, that's not wasting time. And so one, you have an obligation, and then, you know, if you're going to contribute, then that's obviously even better, but not only is it good for you to be rich, but if you are selling something you believe in, that you believe it truly helps people's lives, you need to go sell as much as you can. And if you're not selling something you're believing in, you need to go sell something else. That really does help people, you know? And so, you should be rich, and you should sell as much stuff as you possibly can if you truly believe people benefit.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
No. I love
it.
Well, I love that. And I love that. You know, it is a responsibility. A lot of people miss that too. And it's almost like, I call it hyper empathy almost. You know what I mean? Where people are afraid of putting themselves out there because, you know, somebody might not like it. Like, I train salespeople and I tell them to have empathy, like super important to have. And then there's like the hyper empathy where people take ownership of the other person's kind of emotions and feelings.
You know, I think that goes into a real gray area because there's a lot of perception happening in there. It's not necessarily intuitively, empathetically tapping into their emotions as much, I think, maybe as starting to imagine what those emotions might be and getting those mixed up with your old stories about when you had a bad experience in sales and you felt pushed and confronted and just kind of projecting that in the situation where really, if you're sitting with the appropriate client that could have a need you could solve, then they may want you to be more assertive and ask for a close and help them get going. You know, they may just have that little bit of uncertainty. And if you just reach your hand across to help them finish that sale, they'll be like, oh, thank you. You know, I was trying to make a decision. It's really interesting when you coach sales to sit on sales calls where someone is selling you something. Yes. I just sometimes want to reach over and be like, you make me an offer so I can say yes.
Yes. And I think
you can't be afraid.
Oh, I think you described it perfectly. Yeah, that's one of my flaws. I tell people all the time. I have all these ideas going on in my head, but then when I bring them out, it can kind of sound weird. But you nailed it, you know?
Oh, thank you.
You nailed it. And just, you know, the confidence. How do you help people build confidence?
Well, there's a couple of paths to it. So, one is understanding who you really are. And we can go deep. I don't know which way your podcast really goes, but infinite step in. Oh, sorry.
I said, anyway, we can go anyway. Anywhere you want.
Okay. Infinite step mentoring. Originally I chose this name for my business because the idea was there's always another step. There's always another level. You keep ascending. But I realized, and there's like seven meanings now after I've thought it through, it was really inspired. Cool name of a company, but another meaning instead of just, you know, continuous progression is that you are infinite. And so the steps that you take are infinite steps, and just really realizing that, you know, your soul, however you want to look at it, whatever it is that makes this body come alive, it's out of the ether. It's out of eternal stuff. It's infinite intelligence. And if you just think you're here in this body and you only got D's in school, you might not think you're that awesome, but there's way more to the whole picture. So that's a piece of it, is just really starting to understand and tap into, okay, I'm a piece of divinity. I'm a little tiny, tiny bit of awesome. Just powerful, awesome. And if you can just tap into that little tiny bit, man, that can change the way that the whole world looks, the way you interact in the world. And so really getting in touch with your own unique individual value, that's a piece of it. And then the second way that people would build confidence is doing things you've never done, doing things that you didn't think you could do. For example, I joke that I accidentally ran a half marathon last year. I had a friend, and I'm into fitness, and I like dance fitness, though. I'm not a runner. I wouldn't have labeled myself a runner last year. But I had a friend, and she was doing Ragnar, and they had a spot, and they're like, come on, there's only 3 weeks to train. And they're like, come on, you know, you do fitness stuff, come run with us. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not a runner. Oh, just come on. Okay, so anyway, I started, and wow, I could actually run a little bit. I didn't think I had it in me, but okay, I could do a little stint here and there. Well, over the course of the three different Ragnar legs that I ran, there was a mix-up at the end one, and instead of being 4 miles, it was 6 miles, and I started getting worried. They're like, what's taking you so long? You've been doing okay on your time, and I'm like, this is not 4 miles. This is definitely not 4 miles. But in the end, my total was over 13.1, and so there's my accidental half marathon. But the point is, it changed my idea of how I saw myself, my identity, like maybe instead of being not a runner, well, maybe I am a runner. Maybe I can do that thing that I didn't think I could do. And the biggest lesson then, right, as a human, then your mind opens up and it's like, well, what else can I do that I didn't think I could do? You lost my sound?
Yeah, here, try that. I got you back.
Okay.
Okay.
Where did I leave off? Just wondering what else I might be capable of. Did you hear?
Yeah. I heard. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so that's the really fun one to think about.
Yeah. I think I love that story though, because it really shows people, because I think everybody's had one of those experiences where they got thrown into something
and they might. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's really cool for people to understand that they're capable of a lot more than they think they are. And so bringing up those stories, bringing up those ways of thinking, like those are really powerful. And I think when people realize that, I think like you're saying, like that changes.
You know, and that is one of the reasons that I constantly have coaches and mentors in my life, and that I really see this role that I play for others as very sacred and special, because one of the things I say is I will believe in you longer than you will.
Yeah.
When you figure that you're done, that's all you got, and, you know, and but then somebody else is there like, no, I see another way, just go here, you know? And I mean, if you think about it, even something as simple as a personal trainer down on the floor, like you got two more pushups in you. No, I don't. And then you're like, no, you're crying and you're doing your pushups though, because they're on you and you wouldn't have done it. You can do more than you think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, oh man. And that is, and I have stories like that too. It's just a beautiful thing when I think even more than noticing that you can push yourself beyond your limits is having someone there who knows you can too.
Yeah. And, you know, and like you said, with validation before, not only have you done it, but you've done it with a witness. You got a buddy to celebrate with. Like, it's cool.
Yeah. You got a lot of accountability. So when you know, we were talking about this earlier, I know a little bit that you've done real estate in the past, you know, you've had businesses before. I mean, did you think that you were going to be an entrepreneur, like growing up? Was that your childhood dream?
Well, actually, no. My dad was in the U.S. Air Force in the service the whole time I grew up, and my mom was kind of a stay home mom, and so we didn't live fancy, but you know, we were good, we were fine, and I just figured I'd kind of have a lifestyle like that. But then I got prospected into network marketing at age 18, and they were like, vision boards, you can put whatever. I'm like, I can put like vacations, I can put rings, I can put cars, what? I can have anything I want. And that like, you know, irreversibly expanded my mind, just the process of my first vision board at 18. And at that point I was like, okay, you know, according to the MLM narrative, in 2 to 5 years, I should be living great. And I don't have to do anything the rest of my life. Well, I surprisingly did not have the skills to back up, you know, the steps needed. And there's a lot of people, you know, with different opinions on network marketing, but,
sure.
But I didn't have the confidence, the presence to sit and present with power and be like, join me. I will take you to your goals. You know, I mean, you have to develop that. So, but the dream didn't die. I kept trying. I'm like, well, that didn't work, but that was probably that business's fault. So let me try this. And over, after a while, you're like, maybe it's me. So I did keep working on myself. I actually, I went into a bookstore at age 15 and I found this cassette on Subconscious Mind. And it was one of those lose weight in your sleep with the ocean wave things. And I'm like, what? Like your brain can do stuff when you can't even, oh, that blew my mind. And I was totally intrigued. So then as I'm doing this entrepreneur stuff, then I'm also like studying, you know, psychology and the brain and all that kind of stuff was intriguing. So it was nice when it finally all clicked together after more than 10 failed businesses failed. We learned from them, right? They're incredibly valuable experiences of what not to do when you don't win in business. But, when it finally all did come together, the work ethic, the skills, the mental piece, then all of a sudden, and it was in real estate, I went from never having shown a profit in any business ever to all of a sudden like 6 figures. What? Like winning awards, best of state in my whole state in my real estate brokerage for rookie of the year. It was like, okay, so I built a good foundation. And then I was worried, I'm like, am I a one-hit wonder? Like, was it just because whatever happened last year, but then it was year after year after year. And I'm like, I figured it out. I cracked the code. I had done a lot of stuff, releasing money blocks and some other things that I teach, but man, when you break through, it's awesome. It's awesome. And that's what's cool to help people find.
Wow. That's such a cool story. And you know what? A lot of people, that's what I like about doing this stuff is we get just some of the most amazing stories. And I really realize like that, you know, you can really go, anybody can go, it doesn't matter what your story was, you know what I mean? It matters what it's going to be. And you have all the power into world to create the, you know, what it's going to be. And a lot of people, need that, you know, especially during 2020, you know, we don't have to go into all of the what's going on in 2020, but man, but a lot of people, I think that it brings that much more hope for people to realize, you know, because a lot of businesses I know personally started out of like depressions, you know, like 2008, you know, earlier than that.
Money to be made in every market.
Yeah, it's insane. And so people can just find and tap into the confidence. They have the right team behind them, the right mentors behind them, and then they rock and roll.
And if you have a product that people need that's in demand, and so Bob Proctor talks about the law of compensation, is that you will be compensated directly to the need for what you do, your ability to do it, and the difficulty in replacing you, right? Yeah. So if there's market demand and you're good at what you do and you're special and awesome and nobody else can do what you do,
you got it.
Yeah, then that's the components that you need, and so people just need to know that you're there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, we were talking about women entrepreneurs, and I've had a lot of them on my podcast. Super big champion of women entrepreneurs because
champion of men. I actually hesitated to niche down into talking specifically to women, but I do a lot with the female body and female power centers and just female kinds of selling. So I'm like, okay, well, I think I am more suited, you know, having taught Zumba and some of these kinds of things to female. Yeah. But I really feel like men need a lot of support and encouragement right now too, because there is so much feminine power and stuff coming out. I'm a fan of men too. So had to throw that in there.
No. And I would never think, you know, I would never think that, because I like to find the good in people. And I also like to find the people who are helping, you know, everybody, but especially women. And here's why I think that is because, like, I feel like, you know, even men, because a part of my thing is like, even men need women on their team. Like we can work together. And that's why I love the women champion entrepreneurs, is because we can all work together and we can all be equal and we can all be on teams. And that's, you know, I have a daughter, so I teach her all the stuff, and I have a son, and I teach him, you know, don't be afraid to have women on your team, you know, or be afraid to have women leaders, because some of the best leaders I've ever had have been women. And so I wanted to ask you about your experience working with women and how, you know, and how do you help them build their confidence?
Well, it does.
And help them find their power.
Yeah, it does go back to that secure foundation of believing that I have something of worth to offer the world, whether it's in your own business, in a corporate career, you know, even if it's like I do cross stitch and I sell them at the swap meet or whatever, just whatever my gifts and talents are, those are good enough. So just getting over that piece, like, one thing I run into a lot, and it breaks my heart every time. And so I'm on a mission to, if you do not have a smiling, happy picture of yourself as your profile picture and you are listening, please go know that you're good looking enough to take that picture and put that up there for the world to see. Because oftentimes, especially with women, I see that, you know, maybe they're selling makeup and then they have makeup as their profile picture, or, you know, a meme or something cute. And those are beautiful, good things, but give me the opportunity to connect with you, because you're worth connecting with. And so I want to start with that foundation of self. And then I think that the labels that we choose to accept or reject is the next place that we go.
Yeah. Wow. I love that you mentioned the profile picture. I think that's, it's powerful. You know, it's powerful. Like a lot of men and women, but I like that you mentioned that, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of women, that picture can be powerful. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if your teeth are crooked or missing or whatever. If you go into subconscious, like we've kind of touched on, closed lips they're hiding your teeth, right? I'm hiding something. If I'm not willing to be open and show you my teeth and openly smile at you, then what do I have to hide? And these are conversations that are had subliminally. Like as you're scrolling, you don't think about it. And the person who put the picture there isn't trying to not let you into their world, right? They're like, oh, that's a cute bird. Let me put the bird up. Or, you know, this is my tattoo. It's awesome. And so, but these are barriers to allowing you to connect with me, right? When social is a primary way we're connecting right now.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, when we started 2020, I mean, video became that much more important because phone calls are great. And if you're in sales, pick up the phone, but like videos and pictures and they're, I know that things change when people see you.
You know what I mean? Well, and not just if a picture's worth a thousand words, then video's worth a million. I don't know. They haven't made a saying for that. But I was doing a training this morning and just talking about how it's barely over a tenth of a second that you have to make that first impression. It's 150 milliseconds. So if someone is scrolling through their feed, and particularly if you're paying for Facebook ads or Instagram ads or anything like that, Google, if they're scrolling through before you can begin to speak, if you're doing a video ad, you know, and I'm guessing, you know, the reading part of the ad, take it or leave it, just depending on the person. But if you're doing a video where you're about to say your message and talk to somebody on video, by the time you begin to speak, that 150 milliseconds is way gone. So they've already made a decision before you put a word out of your mouth, more than likely, of whether they're going to scroll or listen. And so how you show up, the set of your shoulders, the arrangement of the 42 muscles in your face, like that confidence piece, you're saying, you're broadcasting, here I am. And I don't know if you want to hear my stuff. I'm 100% sure I can help you. And I sit up tall and I look you in the eye and I'm absolutely confident I can solve your problem. I'll pause for that. I'll listen another 2 or 5 seconds and see what you got.
Yeah.
You know, and so just that body language piece that goes with the confidence is so important right now online.
Oh yeah. Body language is everything. Body language. I mean, and if it's not everything, it's pretty close. You know what I mean?
93%, they say, right? Between the body and the tone. And so I'm barely listening to the words you say, right?
Yeah. Well,
Supposedly, hopefully the children are at least, right?
Right. Well, and what I tell salespeople, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know, it's a lot of how you present, a lot of how you come across, because I can say the same thing 3 different ways and you'll get it 3 different meanings. You know what I'm saying? And that's,
I'm for sure that this product will help you.
Right. And now I don't know.
The wrong burgundy of selling.
Yeah. And you know, so you talked about labels, the labels that we choose to reject or accept.
Yes.
Tell me more.
So my husband, I practice this and he doesn't like when I reject labels that he applies. And so he recently turned 50, actually now he's 51. He had another birthday. And so sometimes he'll just say stuff like, oh, sucks to get old. And he wants me to automatically agree. A lot of times in conversation, we all throw these things out and we're like, you're my people. I'm sure you're on board with me, right? Right? You know, it sucks to get old. Nope. And I literally put my hand up, palm up, and I just let the words bounce off. Nope. I'm not old. And two, when I decide to own that label, it's not going to suck. So that could be your reality. And I reject it. I picked this one over here because I'm doing
it. Good for you.
Thank you. Well, and you have to, that's actually like a micro setting where you're demonstrating setting and keeping boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Like I will not allow something outside of me to make me feel old before my time. Nope. I'm in charge of that. And so I don't take that label, you know, and it can work the opposite way too. If this is a fun one. I just did a mini little podcast about the words, okay, maybe. So if someone puts a label on you that feels foreign, but might be uplifting and it might be something you should consider, instead of saying when rejecting it automatically, which we often do if it's not in our programming, right? You're kind, you're a teacher. You know, people in the beginning would say, you should be a coach. I'm not a coach, you know, is what my past programming would say. But then I learned from a mentor of mine to say, instead of rejecting it, how about let's just say, okay, maybe. Let's just let it sit in the air for a minute and see if that's part of us. Also a label like intuitive. I was like, no, I'm a straight A student. I'm a scholar. I'm a business person. I'm not intuitive. That's kind of woo. Well, you know what? Let's let it sit for a minute. Oh, okay. Maybe I do make decisions based on how I feel and that I'm in tune where I didn't realize I was with people. And then I realized that's actually a great gift that I had not received because I had not accepted the label before.
Interesting.
So works both ways.
Yeah, I like that. You know, okay, maybe. Like, because I'm sure, because at least if you sit there and you get to acknowledge it and you get to analyze it a little bit, then at least you can, you know, you can get those opportunities where you take something, where you accept something that you might not have if you only were given, you know, a split second to do it. But if you have a minute, yeah, because there's a lot of good thing, you know, with intuitive things.
Well, and just because we are in a little bit of a fragile time where people are struggling with anxiety, depression, some of those kinds of things, I would invite anyone listening also to consider, okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm not depressed. Maybe I'm not stuck. Maybe I'm not those things. Because right now, a lot of people in the culture are like, 2020 sucks. Well, for my family, actually, we have a huge list of things that have gone our way. And it's been a tremendous year. But I don't shout that too loud too often because I don't want people to get mad at me for having a good year when everybody else is having a hard time. And part of it certainly is perspective, you know, that I choose to see the good things. But just realizing that you're the gatekeeper of your mind and you choose what comes in and what stays out. It's the red velvet rope policy, right? Like if you're the bouncer at the fancy club, you get in, you don't. I get to choose what I put in my mind.
Well, that's what Tony Robbins says, right? He's like, if you want to have, you know, if you want to change your life, figure out how your best day or figure out how your worst day was your best day.
The obstacle becomes the way. I was listening to that last night.
Ooh, I love Ryan Holiday.
Good stuff.
He is my favorite author, like hands down my favorite author.
Cool.
I'm
a fan of Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah. I mean, I've read Meditations 2, 3, 4 times.
Cool.
I love it. There's a lot of Stoic principles that are applied when we talk about mindset. So I'm kind of glad that you brought
up the OGs,
like,
right?
What?
They're the OGs.
They are the OGs. They are the OGs. Do you put that into your coaching? Any of the Stoic principles into your coaching?
You know, I don't specifically structure things in, but you know, everything that I've learned on my journey is a library that I pull from when I'm working with someone and I'm like, oh, you could use this. I haven't used this for 5 years, but it's perfect for you.
But it's so perfect. Yeah.
It comes and goes. Yeah.
It's definitely a good one to have in the tool, but like I would consider myself pretty stoic in my mindset.
You have a stoic energy about you.
Well, I'm very much like I try to stay away from the word control. Like that's for me because, you know, it's the paradox of control. The less I realize I have, the more that I gain because I realize, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's cool. But that's how, you know, I just think, but I appreciate like you, I can appreciate all of it because, there's something that I find like that helps me everywhere. Like I can find it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just like you said, like 2020 can either be the worst year or the best year. And it's just how you decide to find it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, and I do think that you can choose whether it was the best year or the worst year, you know?
And there's still time. There's still
35
days left. So 2020 is not awesome yet. You still have time to make it awesome.
Yeah, you got time. I love that. And more so, I love that people can change it even now. You know what I mean? It's never too late.
Yeah. I like to, when I'm working with diet, food, weight kinds of things.
Yeah.
We all like the New Year's or we like the Monday or whatever, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
So instead, I came up with this idea of breaking up the day into segments. So 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, so, you know, randomly throughout the day, and just say, okay, if I have a Danish in the morning and that was not on my plan, that was not like towards my goals that I had said I was going to do, you know, if you break faith with yourself, yeah. You can start over 10 a.m. is like Monday. Yeah. So we're going to pretend that we did everything right, starting at 10 a.m. instead of rolling out the rest of the day. You know, right. We can choose that fresh start anytime. Again, it's a label.
Yeah.
I start right now.
Yeah.
Because you can put on 3 pounds waiting to start on Monday, right? If you're not careful.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Again, couldn't agree with you more. Like people, and how I would view it as well is you don't have the past. The past isn't ours. So like, if I eat something not good for me in the morning that wasn't a part of my plan, right? I just, you know what? Hey, like for me, it's about acceptance. Like it happened, but it doesn't have to keep happening.
Right. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to put you in this free fall of bad choices. Exactly. And you know, I struggled a lot. I never had a serious weight problem, but I was always had that, like that 10 or 20 pounds that I just, I wish I could just lose it. Right. You know, for years I had that and tried all kinds of different diet plans and you'll just take your willpower and you'll make yourself eat the yucky stuff. And, you know, and it wasn't until I was able to, again, going back to that subconscious piece, until I was able to shift it and realize, you know, I love and respect myself enough to make a good choice right now. That's going to make me feel good. What can I choose that's going to make me feel good tomorrow and for a long time? Yeah. And I'm not saying no because I made a rule for myself. I'm saying no thanks right now because I respect myself, you know?
And
I'm okay with that. I chose it. I might choose, something else the next time. That's okay too.
Yeah.
Just accept all of it.
Yeah. For me, that's my kind of motto is just acceptance, not control. For me. Like, and meaning that like, I don't beat myself up, but I also know that like, I can accept change. I can accept moving forward. I can accept success, just like kind of what you're saying, you know, the labels, like I can accept, you know, the good things. And so that's great. And you do all of the mentoring. You have the businesses. What's the biggest message that you want people to understand when you come into the picture, whether you're mentoring them, you know, you're coaching them, you know, you're speaking to them. What do you want them to walk away with?
You are infinite. Your value is infinite. You probably only understand the tiniest sliver of how awesome that you are. And if I can crack that door open a little bit more and help you understand, not on the surface, but like down deep, like, oh, wow, I truly am valuable. I matter. I make a difference. If I can help you understand that, then the way you show up is different. Your business is different. How you value other people is different when you start to really understand who you are. And so regardless of what goals we're working on, if it's business or weight or redecorating your house, you are awesome. You deserve beauty and order and dignity and excellence in your life.
Yeah.
You're absolutely worthy of it. That would be my message.
And it's such a good message to have. And it's a powerful message. You know, when you started talking, I got goosebumps because it's just like, that's because I feel that, you know what I mean? Like I understand what you're saying, because infinite can be such a hard word, you know, as far as like comprehension. Right. But I feel that. And I think it's something that people feel, you know, you start to catch.
And that's part of the point is we can't even understand.
Yeah.
What we really all are about.
Yeah.
But just starting to understand that discovery process.
Oh,
so
for
worth
sure.
Your time. So,
I guess one of my questions that I kind of want to end with would be like, why do you think it's so hard for people in general to understand that they're infinite, that they're worth, you know, infinite?
You know, it's the physical realm is such a tricky place. You come in and assuming that you're born into nurturing family. You know, you have people that meet your needs and that feed you when you're hungry, and those kinds of things. And then as you become a toddler and start to do things on your own, I want to take some steps. And before then, ideally, you know, when you're in the womb, all your needs were instantly met, right? Like there's no difference between what I want and what I manifest, right? You know, everything is perfect. And then, you know, fast forward to that toddler age and I want to go over there, or even I want to grab that thing and I don't know how my hand works yet, you know? And then we, those are our first experiences with failure, some could say, or with not getting what we want, with that, that distance of manifesting what we want, starting to grow and expand. And you're like, hey, that's not as fun as what, how can we go back to what we did before? But, but the difference is growth. The things that we're wanting to attain are at higher and higher levels. Right. And so, so that allows us the chance to expand. But I think this, this idea of people, you know, interpret the meanings of these different little mini fails differently. The best thing I've ever heard about failure is F-A-I-L, is a first attempt in learning fail. First attempt in learning. And it's really cliche, but it was new to me not that long ago. And I'm like, oh, that's so beautifully said. It just means we haven't put the time in. We haven't put the practice in. But when you have a lot of that happen sequentially, then it starts to change your view of self and what you're capable of. And so that's where it gets sticky, and you have to kind of unwind that, and you have to be able to understand the kind of work to do to get you out of that hole so you can start ascending again.
I like that. I like that you mentioned that, because some people, after the 10th or 11th failure, it can start to weigh.
And you doubt yourself, and you're like, if I have evidence around me everywhere that says I can't do it, then maybe the obstacles are right. Maybe the opposition is right. But I think another concept that I love is that we are tested and then we're supported. So if you prove I'm on board, I'm doing this, I'm on purpose, I've burned the boats, I'm not stopping until I do this thing, then eventually you break through that filter, and then you're swimming free. And the water is clear and open, because there's a lot of people that said, forget it. Right. And not to trivialize it, because that's a hard spot to get through.
But no, it is. It is. But I think
tenacity wins, man.
Oh yeah. Well, I was just about to say that, you know, it's not to downplay anybody's situation, but it really comes down to how bad do you want it? Right. And what are you like, and how far are you willing to go to get it? You know what
I
mean?
And they talk about what's your why and everything. And you got to find that anchoring why. And sometimes that's there, but sometimes for me on really big goals, it's just like, cause I picked it and I want it. I just want it. That's my why. I chose it and I claim it and it's mine and I want it. And watch out. Cause I'm getting it. And that's okay.
That's
if you don't know what your why is, but you want it, that desire, that's supposed to be there.
I think so. I think you're totally right, because I've always, I read, and like, the why, right? Like I've read Simon Sinek, I've read all the books, and I always, but I came back to these principles of like, of just what you were talking about. You know, I want it. I know that it's the right thing to do. I felt that it's the right thing to do. And that's all I need to keep going.
Burning desire is a why.
And I think a lot of people feel like they have to have these grandiose whys.
And I've sat in the seminars before and they're like, you gotta find your why. And I'm like, I'm looking, I don't know where it is, but I just want the thing. But
I love what you said. So then just go for it. then get it. Right. And be ready for whatever comes your way, because it's going to happen and it's all going to be okay and you're going to get it.
It's all going to be okay. I like that.
Yeah. And I really believe that. I really believe that things like end, like I think it was Winston Churchill, maybe he said, failure isn't fatal and success isn't forever,
And I don't know if I've heard that one.
That's just what I like. And it just reminds me that we go through seasons, and seasons are cool. You know what I mean? There's a season.
Yes.
You know, and it comes to an
end. To tears.
Yeah. And I'm not saying success comes to an end in the sense that I think success is a long journey, right? So I don't think success comes to an end, but maybe, you know, for me, I thought I was going to be in one industry forever. And then, you know, 5 years later, I realized that's probably not it, you know, or 5 years later came and I was like, I want something different. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think even if you maintain, for example, a company with the same numbers, that kind of thing year after year, you begin to feel a plateau because you've mastered the things that were challenging before, and we seek that challenge. So, so just, it gives us an opportunity to explore a different something for us to master.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm talking, you know, and I think that's what part of the quote it means is like, you know, it just,
I thought you were going to say the one where, it'll all work out in the end. If it didn't work out, it's not the end. Like the greeting card one.
Hey,
not as deep as Winston, but still.
Good. I like it though. That's cool. So before we go, how do people, I think you mentioned your website earlier, but just in case, how do people find you again? And if they want your services, want to get involved, how do they get a hold of you?
You bet. So my name is Jen Gibbs, 2 N's, 2 B's, and my website is infinitestepmentoring.com. And if you hop on there, there's you can learn a lot about me and how I might be able to be of service to you. And if it feels like it might be a fit, there's an application. You just click in right there. But I have links to my social and everything on there. So that's kind of fun if you want just a little daily drip of mindset, of being reminded that you're awesome and all that good stuff. But I do have a free copy of Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind on there. Mm-hmm. And it's I think 84 pages. So it's normally not what I would give as a freebie. It's pretty comprehensive, but I just feel like it's so important for people to understand how they're wired and why they're behaving as they do. And so it's something I've just got on there for free on infinitestepmentoring.com that people can just grab. And
wow. Well, I think everybody should get involved. I think they should go check it out. And thank you so much for being here and joining me and spending the time. I really appreciate it.
This has been so fun. Awesome. We've had just a great chat. I've enjoyed you very much, Phil.
Absolutely. Take it easy. Thank you.
Okay.